I'm going to start off with a little prayer. Bow your heads, please. Lord, you are my Father in heaven. You search my heart and know me far better than I know myself. May I be your worthy servant, and may I live according to your commandments. Let me be a person of integrity, Lord, and let my words and let my deeds be a testimony to you today and always. Amen. The sermon is on Isaiah 61:6. That's going to be the reading and the reflection. It's prophecy. It's future prophecy about the glory. It's future prophecy about the kingdom to come. The Bible is very clear: in the end, we win. But in Isaiah chapter 56 to 59, it talks about Israel's willful, persistent rebellion and sin. This is talking about God's chosen people, God's chosen governors and kings and rulers, God's high priest and priests and those serving in the religion. Willful, persistent rebellion and sin. Sin fills the vacuum left when God's truth no longer fills our life. Only God can defeat sin. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we hear from the wisest man and the richest man that ever lived, Solomon. Throughout the book, he has this saying, "Nothing new under the sun." If we would say that today, we could also say, "History does repeat itself." As I look at what's happening in our country, the United States, where we have blessings far beyond any other country or nation, where we have freedom far beyond any other country or nation, and what is happening? Willful, persistent rebellion and sin. I often wonder, how long will we be called one nation under God? When we sin out of rebellion, or if we sin out of ignorance, our sin separates us from God and will continue to separate us until we seek God's forgiveness and God removes our sins. Up until that forgiveness, we face separations. We get some good news at the end of chapter 59 in Isaiah. God says, "My spirit for my Redeemer will come. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will my word. I have spoken, says the Lord." Do we get an amen to that? So when the Holy Spirit is welcomed and dwells within his people, they change. Now the Holy Spirit is with us, but he has to be welcomed, and he has to be meaningful in our lives. So today, we are the heirs of this prophecy. When we read the promises, we long for the fulfillment, but we must wait patiently for God's timing. God is in control of history. Amen? The scripture reading today, Isaiah 60, 1 to 6. It talks about the future kingdom and the future glory for Jerusalem. "Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all the nations to see. For the glory of the Lord is shining upon you. Darkness is black as night, and it will cover all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord will shine over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands, and your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine, and your hearts will thrill with joy. For the merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you. The camels of Midian and Ephah and Sheba, they will bring gold and incense for the worship of the Lord. So arise, Jerusalem, and rejoice. Arise, Christians, nowadays, and rejoice. Don't be discouraged when you look around and see so few people turning to God. Scripture is true. One day, soon, all people throughout the world will recognize, and every knee is going to bow. So here's a question. Until then, what are we to do? If you remember, Jesus was asked, what are the most important commandments? And Jesus' response was, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your mind. Love the Lord with all your soul and your spirit. And love your neighbor as yourself. What are we to do but now? Let's concentrate on those two for starters. One of life's greatest tragedies would be to reach our end times, our end days, and look back and say, I was successful in many things, but they really did not matter that much in the end. So when you live for Jesus, when you love God, when you love your neighbor, you love people, you will have a life of eternal significance. Isn't that what we all long for? To have significance? To feel needed? To feel wanted? See, when we think about success, our minds are mainly focused on ourselves. Significance influences others. Significance in little deeds has eternal significance. What are we to do in the meantime? Find a need. And you don't have to look too far to find needs, do you? And use your spiritual gift that God has given each and one of us, each one of us, to meet a need. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your spirit, and your neighbor as yourself. We're all praying for revival. We're all hoping things start changing in our country, in our churches, in our homes. So revival is not about ability. Revival is about being willing. When our will, when our heart are in tune with the Holy Spirit, things start to happen. It's biblical. So when we give up my way of doing things and start saying, I want to do it thy way, Lord, when our spirit, heart, are in tune with the Holy Spirit, our lives personally, our lives as a church, our lives as a universal church start having eternal significance. What's happening in the world today is crazy. The world wants to wipe God out of the churches, out of the schools, out of everything. They want to take God out of the Bible now. They want to change this. Don't let them. How are we to change ourselves? It's all right here. Right in this book. It's the living word. It's all here in this book. God's truth. It's all here in this book. God's purpose through Jesus, our Christ, our Messiah. In this book, Jesus tells us, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Make him your life. Make this book, his word, your influence. Then we can have a great day every day. Then we can have a greater life, a more enjoyable life that will also have eternal significance. It's up to us. It's up to our heart. It's up to our will. When we start treating God the way we should be treating God, when we start treating our neighbor the way our neighbor should be treated, things will change. Change for the better.